It is election season, and among the bevy of races and issues on your fall ballot are four for Seattle Port Commission. Many people have no idea what port commissioners do or even what the Port of Seattle really is. You may know that the port oversees SeaTac Airport and the container ship terminal at Harbor Island near Sodo. It's also responsible for the downtown cruise ship moorage, Shilshul Bay Marina, and on Magnolia's North Shore Fisherman's Terminal. There's a plaque there that commemorates the terminal's 100 years as home port to the North Pacific Fishing Fleet. To really understand Fisherman's Terminal, I went there to meet Pete Knutson. His boat is moored on Dock 8. If you've never been to Fisherman's Terminal, it's worth a visit. Of course, there's the obligatory seafood restaurant. There's also a store that sells fresh fish, and then there are hundreds of boats, from sleek yachts to fishing boats like the Nord. It's a 40-foot fiberglass trawler that belongs to Pete Knutson. He's been fishing since his high school days in Everett.
The choice was either work in the mill or go fishing, and I was trying to make money to go to college. And so I did mill work. I worked in a pulp mill for one summer and I hated it. And my neighbors were fishermen. And so asked for a job, got on a purse seiner. And I worked for somebody else for 7 years before my wife and I bought our first boat.
When was that?
That was 1979.
Did you moor that boat at Fisherman's Terminal?
I think that winter in 79, that was my first year mooring here.
At that time, were there particular criteria that you had to meet to moor at Fisherman's Terminal?
There were a lot more small boats. It was a bigger industry. Of course, the docks had not been maintained and they were falling apart. So the port was just kind of harvesting revenue from the fleet, but they weren't reinvesting. And so it was actually kind of a dangerous place to moor at the time. The last round of docks were built in 1940. And basically, there was very little reinvestment until, let's see, it was 2001, 2002, and this facility began to collapse. The fishing industry here has the best multiplier effect in terms of jobs generation of any port industry. And yet, it was almost like they were hoping that we would just go away and redevelop this thing.
Well, you know, it's interesting that you mentioned that, because on that plaque I was reading as before I came down to talk to you, it said this is the home of the North Pacific Fishing Fleet.
This is the largest concentration of fishing boats on the American West Coast, and maybe even the East Coast. We fought to keep this place. We had a big battle. Meantime, Everett got rid of their fishing fleet. They tore down their lockers. Tacoma got rid of their fishing fleet. The only places left now, really, for big fishing fleets are Seattle and, to some degree, Bellingham. And it's a good thing we fought, because now all of a sudden we are getting a lot of boats here and we have a big industrial concentration right here. And the public created this as a place for fishermen to market their catch, it was a snug harbor, that's what they called it. We want to make sure that the identity of this place as an industrial facility, as a job generator, doesn't get lost.
Okay, so Pete Knutson is pretty passionate about the Port of Seattle's role at Fisherman's Terminal. He says the port needs to pay more attention to the terminal. But Fisherman's Terminal is just one task among many for the port. Emily Hefter is a political reporter for the Seattle Times. She's been covering the port for about a year now. Hefter says you can think of the publicly owned port like a multi-tentacled octopus.
It has all these different duties, which is good because it's really diversified, right? The airport pays for itself. So when you're thinking of your property taxes that you pay to the port, most of those go to help support the Fisherman's Terminal and the seaport.
So publicly owned, meaning that the commissioners that we vote for then are in charge of land that we own or businesses that we own?
Yeah, land that we own. For example, they negotiate how much the airlines pay us to park at our airport, and they negotiate with shipping companies and companies that use the seaport to bring goods in and out.
It seems like when I see port commissioners, there's always sort of two camps. It seems very black and white. I want to reform the port and we need to bring more business into the area. Those seem like two general camps. Is that accurate?
The port officials would argue that protecting the economic vision is in the public interest, because there's a lot of pressure on the industrial area in Seattle to develop, to build, for example, a basketball arena in that area. And so there is a lot of focus right now on the seaport, because the market is so soft that the seaport is only being used, it's only about 45% or 50% in use. There is a lot of threat to the transportation corridors and stuff that run through there.
So is that basketball arena and development down south of central downtown the main issue for people running this year, or are there other things that candidates are talking about? You don't see a lot about this.
Mm-hmm. Basketball arena is certainly a big issue. It's sort of a symptom of the biggest issue, which is that the port is not being recognized by the region as an important entity. And I think that when the port decided to come out against the basketball arena, they were essentially blown off by county officials and city officials. They said, you know, this isn't our fault that industrial area is under pressure, and a basketball arena is not going to kill the port, so we're not going to pay that much attention to your concerns. And so the port commissioners are upset about that, and a lot of them are running on a platform of improving their relationships with the county and the city, or trying to gain more influence in regional politics.
It sounds like what you're talking about is symptomatic of sort of the identity of the city itself.
Yeah, I think the port is such an interesting place because it's really at the crossroads of the debate that the whole city is having. What kind of city do we want to be? Do we want to have an industrial blue-collar core? Do we want to have an Alaskan fishing fleet? Or do we want to have, you know, a tourist attraction with a bunch of yachts parked at it? Do we want to have a blue-collar core with trucks traveling through to the warehouses in Kent? Or do we want to have an entertainment district with a basketball stadium? And the whole city is trying to decide what kind of city we're going to have, and the port's really at the crossroads of that.
What were the initial challenges for you taking on this beat?
The port is a lot of things. It's a big business, and I'm not a business reporter, but it's also a political body that handles a lot of public money and public issues and public resources.
The last I read, $3.8 billion in public money or ancillary money.
Mm-hmm. And their decisions make a big difference, and the port is not, it's not doing that well right now. So the next port commission that we elect actually will make a difference.
At some point, if the port continues to not be doing too well, what Seattle looks like will be completely different, won't it?
The scare story everyone tells on the campaign trail is that we could end up like San Francisco. Because they closed their port, you know, and made it into a tourist district, and they don't have a working port anymore.
Reporter Emily Hefter's feature about the Seattle Port Commission races is in today's issue of the Seattle Times. You can find out more about all the races and issues on the election ballot this year at KOW.org. Look for Elections 2013. This is The Record. I'm Marcy Silman with Steve Scherr.